Dan Giltrud, welcome to the GSI Briefing Podcast. It's great to see you again.
Hey, Regina, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about my favorite state, New Jersey.
Dan, you were on the panel at GSI's very first Economic Policy Forum back in May of 2018, and you left quite an impression on our audience. You passionately spoke about, you know, how our policies were chasing businesses and residents out of the state. And you had a memorable quote. You said, at least once a week, if not more, I have meetings with clients about how to leave New Jersey. So, Dan, how would you say things have changed since 2018, as well as what policies have you observed in other states that they're adopting that are working to attract more individuals and businesses?
Unfortunately, Regina, not a lot has changed since I made that statement in 2018, I'm sorry to say. And, you know, I've always been really torn about that because, look, I've been in New Jersey my entire life, and I love New Jersey. I really do. At the same time, I have a fiduciary responsibility to my clients related to helping them legally minimize their taxes. And to make the point quite directly, New Jersey is not a tax friendly state. And the reason that continues, and the reason I have to continue to advise my clients about planning to leave New Jersey is that the people that matter, the people in Trenton, are really not recognizing the problem. So if you don't recognize that we have a problem, specifically taxes, that are forcing people to leave the state of New Jersey, it's never going to get better. So I'm going to tell you another thing related to taxes, which perhaps is beyond New Jersey's control, but it is going to impact New Jersey negatively related to people leaving the state. And that is, what happens with federal taxes? And the reason I say that is because I think that we could assume that taxes from a federal perspective are going to go up. Joe Biden campaigned on it, and I think he has every intention of honoring that promise. So if taxes go up on a federal level, the only place to compete becomes on the state level. So there's going to be even more pressure on the states to attract people. And the way you attract people or hold people is to be tax competitive. New Jersey at this point in time is going to be less competitive because people who are, well, financially successful are going to pay even more taxes. And one of the avenues they're going to look at to lower their overall tax bills is to relocate into a state that is much friendlier from a tax standpoint.
That's a great point you're making about, you know, the federal pressure will actually put more focus at the state level. And I think you're right on. A lot of people talk about the zero income taxes of Florida and Texas, et cetera. What have you seen most recently that some states are adopting that are really, you think, hitting the mark and attracting more and more either businesses or individuals?
Look, from a standpoint of what states can do in general to attract residents, attract businesses, is to be, well, cost effective. And what does that relate to? It relates to taxes. So you have to take a hard look at whatever state you're in, what can be done to lower that tax obligation? Now, you know, government in general actually doesn't, I'll say, earn their money. They get their money from taxpayers, you know, and what they do with that money in terms of their fiscal responsibility is key. So it's really not about how much the taxes are that you collect. It's how you spend that money. And if there are no consequences to how money is spent by government, meaning that if you can continue to tax people more and they tolerate it, then you can continue to spend more. So I would say states that are successful are really looking how they how they spend their money. And I'm sure we'll get into it, Regina, about how the pension systems work in New Jersey and other places, because that's really, really a big issue. But I think how governments spend their money is key. And then as far as businesses go, it's regulations. The more regulations you put on business, the less friendly the environment is to do business. Why would you go to a state that is taxing you and over-regulating you when in this day and age where you literally in many business can be anywhere, why would you plant yourself in such an unfriendly environment? And the answer is you won't.
I have great worry, as you say, other states are moving in that direction and we are not. Yeah, we will get into spending and some of the other pressures on it's causing the spending that's, you know, driving up the taxes. But another group that, you know, we've looked at recently, and Dan, we shared with you a report that we're going to issue shortly on retirement. And that's a whole nother, you know, situation in terms of fixed incomes and tax policies in retirement, as well as, you know, deferred earnings, et cetera. So it's interesting, at least in the research we did, that Pennsylvania and Delaware are near the top of destinations that many New Jerseyans select when they approach retirement or enter retirement. And obviously, it's not about the weather. So what are you seeing among your clients and what are you advising as a near or are already retired concerning New Jersey?
Well, part of tax planning and cost of living planning and retirement planning, all of those things together, you have to look at what that individual wants to do in their retirement. And now, the reason why I believe Pennsylvania and Delaware are so attractive to New Jersey retirees is retirees want to still stay close to their family, specifically their grandchildren. They don't want to be too far away. However, they can't afford to stay in New Jersey. So what do? You move to a state like Pennsylvania or Delaware, not because they are a no-tax state. It's because the taxes are just so much lower. But yet you're still close enough to get back to be able to see your family. So these signs are so obvious. I just don't know how you argue. Now, you can give me all the statistics that you want, and people often twist the statistics to fit their narrative. From my standpoint, Regina, I'm in the trenches. I see what's going on with individuals and with businesses. And I'm telling you, the proof to me is what I see in terms of people's behavior. They simply say, I can't afford New Jersey. Where do I go? If I don't mind flying, I'm heading to Florida. If weather plays into that as well, I'm heading to Florida. That aside, I still want to stay close to be able to drive into New Jersey. Well, then I'm going to Delaware or Pennsylvania. But the key factor is I'm getting out of New Jersey. That's what's in common for all of them.
Yeah, I totally agree with you about the proximity and, you know, the desire to want to be near family. And every poll, you know, talks about that, right? Yeah, you know, I really want to be able to, you know, see my grandchildren more often. And both of them, I think, have continued to, as you say, manage their spending, so therefore not have upward pressure on their taxes. And what's Pennsylvania? 3.03, as I recall, on income. And in fact, all retirement income is not taxed at all. Am I right about that, Dan?
Yes. And that's why Pennsylvania, I believe Pennsylvania is the number one destination for New Jerseyans in retirement, isn't it? Or am I wrong about that?
In retirement. Yeah, total, it's Florida and Pennsylvania's number two, but in retirement, yeah, I think we just isolate them. Yeah, absolutely. So another subject that comes up a lot, you know, not just for retirees, I should say, but for everyone, and it really goes back to Washington, you mentioned them before, in federal tax policy, is SALT and the subject of SALT. So you know that it's still unresolved, and I've even yet this morning, you know, hear versions of what, you know, believe the outcome will be in terms of inclusion or not inclusion in any reform. So what impact did you actually see from the SALT reform that was from 2017, where the limit of the 10,000 deduction was no longer allowed? And then what are some of the misconceptions, really, that, as you say, you're in the trenches? Like, what are some of the misconceptions that you're really hearing about salt?
Sure. So let's step back and just analyze the whole point of salt. So SALT stands for state and local taxes. And what the Trump tax changes did was it limited on your personal tax return those types of deductions for state and local taxes to $10,000. So it was capped. And what that did was is that put a lot of hurt on successful business people in high tax states. Now, what do I mean by that? In high tax states where it's either residential or real estate taxes being one of those items, as well as your state income tax, because if you're successful in a progressive tax system like New Jersey, you're paying more state tax. Well, you're losing everything above $10,000 as far as having a federal tax benefit. So that really put a lot of hurt on high income earners in a state like New Jersey. Now, on the other side of this, don't forget they replaced that SALT cap with a much higher standard deduction. So for 2021, that deduction that you get is $12,550 per person, or if you're married filing jointly, it's $25,100. So there was an attempt there by the Trump administration to try to actually create a flat tax, because most of the people around the country, because many of them are in lower tax states, real estate and income tax, they actually got a huge benefit of a much higher standard deduction. But in states like New Jersey, we took a beating on that. And politics aside, because I'm sure there's always a political play behind that, it really punished states that are not fiscally responsible, meaning taxing too much because they spend too much. And that's it in a nutshell.
So we're recording this in early November 2021. Dan, I wanted to ask you to pull out your crystal ball. What do you think is going to happen with that?
So I want to be able to get these thoughts as clear as I can, because there's so much information, Regina, about this. So again, I go back to first thing, let me address, how is it impacting my clients? So the people that you want to keep happiest in your state, no different than any business that you're running, and a state should run like a business. It doesn't, but it should. You want to keep your best customers happy. Now, in a government setup here, your best customers are the ones that are paying the most in taxes. They're the ones helping you to help other people. So you want to keep them happy. You don't want to punish them by taxing them more and more and more. So this SALT cap really made it obvious how these customers in the state of New Jersey were being punished for their success, because now it's not just that they hurt from the standpoint of paying so much in state tax. Now they're being hurt on their federal taxes because they're not getting a tax deduction for that. So that's what's happening there. Now, crystal ball, what's going to happen if, and we don't know, but if they're going to get the Build Back Better legislation in place, which means taxes are going up or we're going to be playing with the tax code, SALT is going to have to be part of the discussion, because the Democrats will not be able to get enough votes to pass it without doing something with SALT. So if you ask me what's going to happen, they're going to lift the SALT cap, right, for people under a certain income tax level, that or an earning level. That's what I think will happen there. But remember what I just said about your best customers, right? Your best customers are the ones that pay the most tax, which are the ones that have the highest income level, which may end up not falling within some type of SALT recalculation for federal tax purposes. So SALT will be in it. How much is it going to impact New Jersey in terms of benefit? Well, there'll be some benefit, but I still think the higher income people head for the hills as soon as they can.
Yeah. I mean, there's been a lot of analysis. I'm sure you've seen even more than I that, right? A lot of that benefit was going to end up in the higher income brackets. And I think you're totally right about there'll be some threading of the needle, but that'll also dampen the impact. And it'll make obvious, quite frankly, I believe anyway, it'll make obvious that, you know, this was not about the middle class at all in terms of some of the resistance to or support for, I guess I should say, reforming the 2017 tax code. So what are some of the things you mentioned pension before? We spent a lot of time at GSI talking about the pension as well as health benefits. And as you know better than me, they have different impacts on the current budget that the state is required to pay for certain components of the benefits. So if you were king of New Jersey, where would you start in terms of trying to, tame the beast of spending, to your point, because it's spending that drives taxes?
Well, if I was king of New Jersey, my first official act would be to abdicate. Who wants that job? But if you forced me to stick around for a while, which I think is where your question's going, so abdication is not an option, okay? So now I have to start acting. The first place that I focus in terms of turning around New Jersey from a fiscal standpoint is I start with the pension plan. Now, this is a very, very sticky subject because, quite frankly, the state has made commitments and promises to their workers, and they're supposed to get certain amounts of funds in their retirement. So I don't think it would be right to go back on those promises that were made. So I think we're a little bit stuck there. However, the future in terms of what we do going forward, well, that can be changed. I think the state would have to make a move to a 401k type setup. So if the cutoff were today, I would simply say going forward for everyone who's new in government, you are no longer going to be part of a defined benefit plan where the benefit you receive is fixed no matter what. You move away from that to what the rest of everyone else, the rest of the business world and everyone has, 401k, meaning you contribute, it's your money, and that's how it should be. If you don't want to contribute, well, you know what? Then you pay the price later on in retirement. But to the extent you would be responsible for that on your own is the way to go and take the state's obligation away. Now, that doesn't solve the problem today, but you know when it does solve the problem? Within a generation. So 30 years from now or 40 years from now or 50 years from now, whatever the case, Regina, you start to get rid of that massive obligation as people, basically pass away and so on. And then that payment obligation would go away. If New Jersey, as well as other states that are unaffordable, don't address that, the gap between the haves and the have-nots in terms of prosperity in various states is going to continue to increase. And I always say this, I don't like to get political all the time, Regina, but I'm going to say this. We all know how important a single vote in Congress can be. One single vote. As you have migration around the country of people moving from high tax states like New Jersey to places like Florida, well, you know what? Every 10 years on the census, it shifts the amount of representation you have in Congress. And that shift will be even more detrimental to New Jersey having less representation, because states like Florida and Texas that are low tax states are not going to be in the mood to bail out a state like New Jersey for its fiscal irresponsibility. We may not see that, but that's coming for sure.
Right. In fact, we saw kind of hints of that, right, in this last census redistricting, right? We saw a couple of seats move around out of the Northeast and into the South and Southeast. So, yeah, no, I think we can see that trend. And that is, you know, one of the, well, it is the largest growth item, right, in the state budget. And that's really what's driving the total spending that's been going up. As you know, you and I have both watched over the last several years, gone up $11 billion. And you know, this year alone, it went up, you know, close to five. And the vast majority of that was a pension payment. And so sustaining that, I think I have to agree with you, in the long term, we all be better off if we can look at other states, by the way, Dan, right? You didn't make that point, but other states have made these moves because they can see, you know, the long-term impact. Pennsylvania, you know, a couple of years ago went to a mixed pension or a hybrid pension arrangement. And Rhode Island was a leader in this. So there are many states that have taken this up. So I think ultimately, you know, if we don't, it behooves us to, as you say, you know, think about the longer term if we're not going to even see the benefit in the shorter term.
Regina, let me give you an example that I think would really clarify what's happening in New Jersey. And the example I'm going to use is pizza, because everybody in New Jersey loves pizza. And by the way, we have the best pizza. I'll make that argument with anybody. May not do so well on taxes, but on pizza, we're right there. So let's imagine a pizza, okay? And all the ingredients that go into making a pizza. And those ingredients have costs. So the pizza itself has a set amount of cost. Now, let's look at that being New Jersey. New Jersey has a set amount of costs that we have to pay for to keep the state moving, okay? Now, what happens is let's think of the slices as the people in the state of New Jersey. So as people leave the state of New Jersey, in other words, taxpayers, every time you pull a little slice of pizza out, what happens? The remaining slices get bigger to be able to cover the cost of the pizza, because the pizza has a fixed cost. So what happens is that all of us as taxpayers, as slices of pizza, when our other slices leave, our slice gets a little bigger, which means we all have to pay more. So the question becomes, if we want to keep all our slices in the pizza, we must reduce the cost of making pizza.
Well, amen.
That's it.
Amen. Amen to that. You know, we've spent a lot of time at GSI looking at that. And, you know, it's the whole idea of fixed cost is something that is endemic at all levels of government. So I agree 100%. So I want to try to wrap up here, and I'm going to go back to a more general question and help our listeners here on the GSI Briefing Podcast, because we're getting toward the end of the year. And since this is your business, and we'll all be looking ahead to tax preparation in the spring and trying to position ourselves at the back end of this year, generically, though, not just New Jersey, Dan, are there any tax law changes that are issues that you'd like to raise for our listeners, should they be aware of before the end of the year?
So there haven't been a lot of tax changes that have taken place between years. However, what I would say to people as far as planning, it actually goes beyond this year. I think it's a pretty fair assumption to assume taxes are probably not going down. And in fact, they'll probably go up. So, with that said, and this goes counter to what you usually tell people in tax planning, you may actually want to accelerate your income if you can in 2021, because in 2022, it's probably going up. So you want to have less income in a year where tax rates are going up. So again, you always look to defer your taxes, defer income the best you can. In this particular case, I actually think you got to take a hard look at accelerating income now, pay more taxes this year, because you may pay even more in the future.
Well, we're definitely going down the rabbit hole, Dan. The world is definitely upside down with that. But, and I do, I of course agree with you though. You can see kind of the trend and where it's headed. So Dan, as always, you always have such interesting insights and analogies. I love the pizza analogy. So thanks very much, Dan, for joining us on the GSI Briefing Podcast. And I'd love to have you back next year. We can talk about what really came of all of the negotiations and what the outlook is for taxes and financial planning in 2022.
Thank you so much, Regina. I'd be glad to come back anytime. And everybody, when you're eating that next slice of pizza, think about taxes.
Thanks, Dan. The GSI Briefing is produced by the Garden State Initiative. For more information about GSI, visit us at gardenstateinitiative.org and be sure to follow us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to the GSI Briefing on the podcast platform of your choice. And please leave us a good rating. This is Regina Agia, and thank you for listening.